Hello, and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today is episode 87, Tuesday Tales, The Kermit of Taliesin. Growing up as a kid, we had this enormous dictionary. It was like 8 or 9 inches thick, and it was like bigger than 10 by 12. It was enormous. It had to weigh 15 pounds, and it was very thin pages. And it had this collection of names from various cultures in the back. And it indicated, under Gaelic names, that Kermit meant dark armor. I tried several internet searches, and it was very difficult to find anything to come up that didn't mention either Kermit the Frog or Kermit Roosevelt, the son of Theodore Roosevelt. I'm sure when I said the Kermit of Taliesin, the first thing you all thought of was a green frog saying, "Hey-ho there." But no, I'm talking about a suit of magical armor. I did finally find a source indicating that it means, from the Irish, free man. But to me, it will always mean dark armor. Taliesin was a former king of Carbayan Mor. And somehow he acquired this armor, and it now bears his name as the Kermit of Taliesin. And a little side note, my brother, Robert, the Dungeon Master, pronounced it Taliesin. I know that there is a famous person on an internet RPG show called Taliesin. No offense, that's just the way we call it, and I'm going to stick with the way my brother called this suit of armor. Taliesin, as a former king of Carbayan Mor, was famous and revered by the other descendants of his, and his tomb was invaded by a very small tribe of orcs. And my younger brother's character, Kent, had his character, the elven high priest, Algernon Whiteoak, got word of this place. And I don't know if he knew what was there or he was just dealing with these orcs, but he had a well-placed flame strike and cleaned it out and got a hold of the dark armor of Taliesin. And he put it to good use. And when the Stuarts reclaimed the throne, we had heard of his exploits, and we knew that Algernon had it. And the king wanted his great, how many ever great-grandfather's armor back. And so he sent Griswold, who had the official title from his ancestors of messenger to the king, to go get it. So Griswold had to agree to help with some sort of quest-type adventure in return for getting the armor returned to the king. I'm not sure which adventure that was, but I didn't go on that many adventures as part of the group with Algernon. So I'm pretty sure it's the one where we had to go to the Abyss to rescue the victim of the Void card from a deck of many things. If you don't know the Void card, let me just read its description from page 143 of the first edition Dungeon Master's Guide. The Void. This lightless black plaque spells instant disaster. The character's body functions, and he or she speaks like an automaton, but the psyche is trapped in a prison somewhere, in an object on a far planet or plane, possibly in the possession of a demon. A wish will not bring the character back, but the plane of entrapment might be revealed. That's pretty wicked. I don't know how long that character was stuck like that, sitting in the corner somewhere drooling with a servant taking care of him, I guess. And I've mentioned the adventure to rescue this character in a past episode, so I won't go into details here. Needless to say, we succeeded and the Kermit was returned to the Stuarts, and the king now has access to this armor. The Kermit is a full suit of dark black chainmail, and it's at least +3, and it has one ability that I know of. I don't recall ever learning of any other abilities it has, but the one ability I'm sure of, the wearer can activate it by saying, "Cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war." And then these spectral war dogs will ravage your opponents. A very handy thing to have in a battle. And if I'm not mistaken in my recollection, it requires the sacrifice of some of your years to use this feature. That is, it ages you. I know that Algernon, an elf, used it at least once, but was not on an adventure that involved Griswold. An elf is less worried about the number of their years. And the king, I think, used it at least once, but never when Griswold was around. And Griswold never had an opportunity to check it out to see if it had any other abilities. So there's some mythical armor that's been found, brought back into use, and put into play by the characters. So that's all there is to this story. Not a very long one. Not much to say when just presenting the facts. So I'd like to know, have you ever implemented famous items in your campaign that may not be known to the players but are famous somehow in myth, legend, or some distant memory somewhere? And what impact do they have on the game? Does it change the course of the campaign? Does it just merely add a little interesting flavor side note? I'd like to know. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you're having a wonderful day, and game on. And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all of my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to Multiverse.World by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is important. Consider backing me on my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on One Bookshelf. You can check out my growing list of PDFs at either DriveThruRPG or RPG Now. And if you like what you see, please let me know. And if there's something that doesn't quite suit you, please let me know. Constructive criticism is very important for those of us who publish our own PDFs. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo. The same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening, and game on!